Welcome to the Hypnotoad Podcast on the Heartland College Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Andrew Zimmel, as we get into another week of Horned Frog Athletics. Lots to talk about, transfer portal stuff for men's and women's basketball. Haley Van Lith, not a Horned Frog, after last week, not confirming, reports saying that she was a Horned Frog, so a lot up in the air with Mark Campbell's team. We'll get into that, and of course, we got to start the podcast with a spring football preview, as Frogapalooza is this weekend in Fort Worth. All of that and more on the Hypnotoad Podcast, but first, want to remind you, subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast wherever you get your audio medium, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your audio, you can get us. Make sure you leave a rating and review. Please leave a good one. If you don't leave a good one, I'm going to feel bad about it. And if you write a review for Apple Podcasts and send it to the boss, Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, you will receive a free Heartland College Sports koozie. That is correct. A koozie as spring turns into summer. The best way to keep your beverage cool would be with a Heartland College Sports koozie. Don't want to miss out on that. All right, let us begin. Frogapalooza this weekend, the football spring scrimmage, and it's going to be a fun time. If you're in the area, if you have a chance to go to it, I would highly recommend that you go to it. They've done a really good job with this over the years with Frogapalooza. It is a 2 p.m. scrimmage. The scrimmage is free, which I think is a huge deal when you compare it to some of the other programs across college football who are charging their fans, which we'll get into that in a minute. Prior to the scrimmage, there'll be live music, classic country cover bands, concessions, $3 food, family fun, face painting, balloon art, wax stuff. It's going to be a good time, is my point. TCU students receive a complimentary tank top, which I know a lot of you guys enjoy. And after the scrimmage, TCU baseball will start their final four, or the first of their final four Big 12 series before the Big 12 tournament, which again, we'll get into at the end of the podcast talking about baseball. Frogapalooza, it's going to be a lot of fun happening this weekend, the spring game. When you look across college football, a lot of programs have already had their spring game. So I personally enjoy that TCU is one of the last ones to have their spring game. I like that Texas and Texas A&M and Ohio State and all these other programs are already done. I like that there is a time where college football, I'm not necessarily going to say is going to be focused on TCU with the NFL draft happening this week, with everything else happening. I think that the TCU spring game might go underneath the radar, which might be for the best. I think that it's a good idea that TCU won't have the type of scrutiny that they had last season. Coming off a national championship appearance, I talk to friends all the time who cover college football in the state of Texas, and every one of them was shocked by the season that TCU had in 2022. And going off of the history with Sonny Dykes, are kind of surprised that TCU's not picked higher in some of these really early preseason Big 12 rankings and standings. Now, again, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. Don't want to get over the skis. You don't want to start writing a check that your football team can't cash. Trust me, I was there last season. I said that this is a team that could win 10 games, could win the Big 12, would be back in the playoffs, and then, of course, all that went up in smoke. So, trust me, I know what I'm talking about when I say I don't want to write a check my team can't cash. I would say this season for TCU, there's a couple of revenge games. Okay? I would say this season for TCU, there's a couple games I have on the calendar that I have on the schedule with the new Big 12, the swole Big 12. People were calling it that last year with the addition of Houston and Cincinnati. And now you look at the Pac-12 dissolving. Now you get those teams coming in, Arizona State, right? So there's a lot of change. There's a lot of change in the Big 12. But the one thing that has been consistent over the past decade is competitive football from the Horned Frogs. Last season, missing a bowl game in year two under Sonny Dykes was one of the more embarrassing things. Now, again, because it's TCU, we care about it. You and I are locked in. But a lot of people, nationally, regionally, kind of falls underneath the radar, right? Rival across town goes to the ACC. Texas leaves the Big 12. These are the stories that are taking up a lot of the headlines. what's not taking up the headlines is that a Sonny Dykes team in Fort Worth can win the Big 12 next year. And it starts this Saturday. It starts this Saturday because spring football, for most of the people, I would argue, for most fans, it's just a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a pick-me-up. You had a long winter, especially for TCU, who didn't play a playoff game, didn't play in a bowl game. It's a pick-me-up. It's to say, hey, summer is right around the corner. You can get excited for recruiting season. You can get excited for the second transfer portal if you're one of those weirdos, those freaks that are into that. I personally hate the summer transfer portal, but that's just me. You can get excited. This is what the spring game's for, is to juice fan excitement. It's also for coaches to figure out what is all on the field. What are we working with here? Dudes, we're in the weight room all offseason. Guys, we're working out. Guys, we're building chemistry. What is it going to look like with Josh Hoover under center? Because that is going to be QB1, presumably. Things might change between now and week one, but presumably that is who's going to be starting against Colorado, right? There's a lot that goes into the spring game. There's a lot of just, it. You could say, hey, it's just a walkthrough. It's just a practice, which I could get. I can understand that part, that point of it. But to me, I look at it and I say to myself, like, this is an opportunity for Sonny Dykes and his staff to find out where the holes are and to address them before the season next year. Because I can almost guarantee you that we are not going to have a repeat of 2023. That 2024 is going to be a completely new season, and that there's going to be a lot of things that are corrected. TCU's defense, the 225, it's done. It's out. It's not coming back. Okay? The 325, not coming back next year. Going to be more of a conventional style defense under a new DC. Year two under Kendall Briles. I don't love him. I imagine you're probably not a huge fan of him either. Maybe you are. I don't think a lot of people are big fans of his. But we all said, hey, give him the benefit of the doubt, right? You don't have to root for him, but you want him to have some sort of success for your football team. It's a really weird dichotomy. It's really hard to separate the art from the artist. I understand if you can't. I'm trying my best over here to do that. But year two in his offense with Sonny Dykes, there should be improvement. There should be incremental steps that really show where this team is headed, where the arrow is pointing. I think it's possible. I think it's possible for this team to have a very good 2024 season. I'm super pumped. I'm excited. I'm very curious to see who has a good spring practice. We'll have more for it next week when we can kind of react to it. But I wanted to get that Frogapalooza this Saturday, April 27th, 2 p.m. scrimmage time. And I don't think it's video streamed anywhere, which is kind of disappointing. Now, this is the other part that I wanted to get to when it talks about it's a free event. I saw, I think it was Nebraska. Might have been Ohio State. There's a couple SEC teams that I've been keeping an eye on who are charging fans to come to the spring game. I think that that's gauche. I think that that's really lame. I think that the spring game for a lot of people is the first time that you can really take your friends and your family to a game. Now, it's not a real game, right? There's not a score at the end of the game. There's not a winner and a loser of the spring game. Spring practice. Light workout. There's not a winner or loser. But to charge fans and to put that money back in the athletic budget, there's a lot of talk about SEC splitting off, the Big Ten splitting off, those two conferences aligning, becoming an alliance of sort, moving away from the NCAA, and charging money to go to the spring game, either to funnel it towards athletic scholarships or to build better facilities, or to give it to NIL, I think that's a problem. I'm not saying across the board it should be free all the time, everywhere, and I understand different programs prioritize different things. I understand that part of it. But when I look at some of these programs who are big-name programs, who are charging $10 to go to a game, not even a game, like I said, a spring practice, I think that's gauche. I think that there's a real problem. It makes me feel icky. I don't like that look of it. And I think there's a lot of college football that if you're a college football purist, if you're a fan of the sport, you went to college – You rooted for the Frogs. You graduated. You still root for TCU. You have kids that go to TCU. You have cousins, nephews, nieces, grandkids maybe, who are going to TCU, and you've been a college football fan for 40, 50, 60 years. This sucks. The way that things are turning. This is not good. There is clearly, and then the worst part about this entire thing, and we don't need to get into all of it, but the worst part of this entire college athletics turning pro situation that we are currently in is that it feels like a slow moving car crash that you can't get out of. Like, you see the collision happening, you see it coming together, and it's like, this is awful. This is bad. This is not good. I want to get off this ride. All right, let's move on. TCU men's basketball transfer portal action. We'll talk about the transfer portal for the men, and then we'll talk about the women and Haley Van Lith decommitting slash saying that there's no ink on paper. I'm curious to see how this goes. But all right, so Wyoming transfer guard Brandon Wenzel commits to TCU. He continues to boost the backcourt. This is something Jamie Dixon has really prioritized in the past two seasons. He announced his commitment this week. Former teammate of new TCU commit, Noah Reynolds, who started his career at Wyoming before transferring to Green Bay the last two seasons. He averaged just under 11 points and 5 rebounds for Wyoming in 2023. Started his career at Utah, appeared in 2 games before transferring to Wyoming. He's a 6'7 sharpshooter from my hometown, San Antonio, Texas. Played 3 seasons at Wyoming. He becomes the 3rd player to currently commit to the Horned Frogs through the transfer portal. He joins former Arizona guard Frankie Collins. So this trio is going to be huge when it comes to the 2024-25 season for TCU. There's only a handful of underclassmen left from this year. This is what the new college basketball is, folks, is you either get freshmen who are 5 stars, who are there for a season and then dip out, the Calipari model is what I call it, or you are doing what Jamie Dixon's doing. You try to recruit 1 or 2 freshmen every single season. You try to re-recruit them, try recruit them, quad recruit them, you know, pentagram. You try to recruit them as many times as possible because you don't want them to go in the transfer portal. You're trying to build a program. And then also you're going in the transfer portal and trying to rob other programs. You're trying not to rob other programs, but just bring in good dudes. Just bring in good talent. TCU is in a really weird fulcrum point when it comes to men's basketball. We talked about it all season. Tech, Baylor, Texas now leaving, but still in the same kind of group there. These are Kansas. This is probably the first one we should have mentioned. Teams that consistently make deep runs into March Madness. And TCU is trying to be one of those teams that makes consecutive Elite Eights, that makes a Final Four appearance in 2025. That is where this program is kind of trending to or trying to get to that level. The way that you do that, though, is you have to build a culture. Jamie Dixon's doing that. You have to find a way to continue to recruit players to make them stay in Fort Worth. Dixon's doing a pretty good job of that, and it's also to supplement talent. All right, also, Green Bay transfer Noah Reynolds. We just mentioned him. He joins. He follows his former teammate as well. That would be Brandon Wenzel. He follows his teammate, joins Reynolds, started his career in Wyoming, played 2 seasons, 42 games, 10 starts, 6'3", 195-pounder from Illinois. Transfers to Green Bay for his 3rd season, shot really well as a freshman. He's filling a void in the backcourt as TCU's lost most of their starting guard play from the year prior. All right, let's move over to the women's side of things as Taylor Bigby commits to TCU via USC. She was a redshirt sophomore last season, the 6'1" guard from Las Vegas, 4-star recruit on the 2021 class. She was Nevada's Gatorade Player of the Year, 12th best guard in the country when she came out. She joins Sedona Prince and Maddie Scher. So she had an injury-shortened freshman campaign. She played 65 games in the 2 seasons with the Trojans. She was part of the Elite Eight team this past season. I'm curious to see why she's coming to Fort Worth. Averaged under 5 points per game and assists, 37% from downtown. She's going to play a much bigger role in the Mark Campbell offense, I imagine, than she would play at USC, which, again, it all boils down to who is going to give me the most playing time And I'm not against that as a TCU fan. I'm not against that at all. Let's move on to baseball as we wrap up the podcast. So baseball. Tough weekend in Austin. Win game one on Friday, 5-0. And this is just how weird the Big 12 is. So you win on Friday, which means of your previous five games, 3-2, going into that Friday win against Texas. And I thought to myself, hey, this is a great time. Texas struggling pitching-wise. You blank them on Friday night. Weekend series, it should be good. Well, then Saturday, goose egged, 7-0. All right, you know what? Texas's bats get hot. Pitching isn't there for TCU. The problem lies in Sunday, a 2-1 loss to the Longhorns to lose the series in Austin. Texas has been one of the most up-and-down teams in the Big 12 this season. And I don't want to overreact, but it does not bode well that you're losing games to Texas. And it's weird because Texas is one of the most inconsistent teams in Big 12, and yet they are tied for the top of the standings. 11-7 in the big, or correction, near the top. They're 11-7, Oklahoma, 14-4. TCU, 8-13 in Big 12 play. 24-15 overall with a win against Dallas Baptist. Second time this season, they swept the season series, and it was a big one. Six different pitchers took the mound in the win. Right-hander Luis Rodriguez earned the save, and right-hander Cameron Parker earned the win. Two shutout frames to start the game. TCU took an early lead on Tuesday, scored with an RBI single from Curtis Byrne in the bottom of the first inning before tallying two runs in the bottom of the second. Sam Myers belted a triple to right center field. The Horned Frogs added runs over the fifth and sixth inning, took a 5-0 lead. They looked good against Dallas Baptist. But my point being, consistency. A 5-2 win against Dallas Baptist. And I understand it's not Texas. I get that part of it. But still, you're in the final stretch. There are four series left in the regular season for the Big 12. Now, five games under 500. Five games under 500. TCU is not going to finish 500 in the Big 12 this season. They're going to finish, I'm looking at it, home against Kansas State. All right, going to Baylor. These are not series that are necessarily the hardest to win. You look at Baylor, 9-9. Kansas State's 9-9. There's a bunch of grouped just in that area. But the way that TCU has been playing, I don't know if they get to 500 in Big 12 play. And if they do, it's not going to be much over. To be five games under right now and try to get back to 500 in Big 12 baseball, it's not impossible, but it's nearly impossible. I don't know if there's a way for that to happen the way that TCU baseball has been playing. Now, I said this last year. I said that it's weird for TCU, a team that perennially goes to Omaha, that is consistently a Omaha team, consistently a super regional team. It felt weird for me to be just selling on them as early as I did last year, and then for them to bounce back in the way they did to make a run. But if you don't go 500 in Big 12, in Big 12 conference play, it's really hard for me to buy stock in where this program, or where this team, not program, I like the program, the team though, I don't know where how far this goes. Because Oklahoma right now, to me, is the best team in the Big 12. Best record, maybe the best pitching staff, maybe the best hitters. They're really hot right now. I like Oklahoma going forward. That's going to do it for the Hypno Toad podcast. You can catch us every week talking all things TCU. Want to remind you, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you get your audio medium, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Podcast, wherever you get your audio, we are there. And make sure you write a review and leave it for Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. That's Pete Mundo, M-U-N-D-O, at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. It's springtime. Summer's right around the corner. And you can get a free Heartland College Sports koozie by leaving a review on Apple Podcast. Next week, we will be reacting to Frogapalooza Spring Game. Who's going to have a big breakout? We will tell you next week right here on the Hypnotoad Podcast. Thanks, guys.